Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, where I'm here to bring you the latest and greatest news and the best guests from the world of quilting. So, you know, what's fun is that sometimes I meet guests for the show in the most unusual way, or at least it seems unusual to me. You know, I was out in Cincinnati working at the show, and what happened was this guy walked by, and he had this, bag with him because, you know, we're all shopping and everything, and I had to stop him because the bag was so fabulous. I just had to go, not only to see the bag, I had to touch the bag, and I had to meet him. So this is exactly how I met Brian Haggard. And I think when Brian was there, everybody at the show was stopping him. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Hello.
How you doing this afternoon?
I'm good.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Do you remember me stopping you? One of the 800 people?
I do.
That was really a fun show, wasn't it?
It was a great show. It was me getting my feet wet for the first time.
Well, it was very bright of you to bring along your work, basically. I mean, most of us, when we make a quilt, you know, we can't really carry it through the show with us. But because you are doing crazy quilting and embroidery and embellishment, you were able to bring that on your bag with you.
I have a lot of quilter friends that were at the show, and they told me, you need to bring some of your projects to show people. And the night before, that bag is what was inspired, because I needed something to actually carry the quilt in that would draw interest for people to ask questions. And it worked, Pat. I met you.
That's right. Oh, my gosh. You know, it really did work. You are an author with CNT. You have your first book out called Crazy Quilted Memories. And, Brian, your book is absolutely fabulous.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I want to spend the time talking about your book because, you know, this book is for everybody. You know, I think it's for beginners and intermediates and advanced. You have just put so much into your book.
Thank you. What really got it started, I did want to teach for the person that was the new beginner, but could also learn how to get a little more advanced as time goes on. Mm-hmm. And it certainly is set up for that. We've got very simple projects from like small pillow tops with just a few stitches all the way to really elaborate quilts with many different stitches and things.
Now tell me a little bit. I was going to say, Brian, tell me how you were inspired, you know, just briefly, because you have a really nice write-up in your book about, you know, why you're doing this type of work. But tell me, you know, yourself.
Sure. I do interior design for a living, and basically what happened was one Christmas, I have a very creative family, and we always try to make gifts for each other. And my mom always loved the photos on fabric, and I thought, I'm going to make her a small quilt with my grandma's picture on. She had just passed, and it was going to be a great tribute to her. Mm-hmm. And when I started making the quilt, it just grew, and it got more elaborate. And then after I made the first one, everybody else was like, well, I need one too. And so it just started happening where I was making it for all the friends and family.
And you actually have, is it your great-grandmother that had a millinery shop?
Actually, that is, my brother is a writer, and okay. I asked him to write a story about our family, and he can also add fictional things in it to make it mm-hmm. fun and creative. And it was about the attic where all these things were found, and mm-hmm. I'm trying to send our reader on a journey that allows them to think of going into an attic and finding all these fabulous things and making them come to life in their quilts, because uh-huh. they're not only just a quilt, but they're an art quilt.
Yeah, they're just, your pieces are wonderful. You actually work a lot in sort of muted and sepia tones. Is that your normal palette, or is that sort of what you did for this particular book?
Actually, that is probably one of my favorite palettes in the world, and mm-hmm. basically why I like to use that is it really allows the stitches to show, and mm-hmm. it's just a nice, quiet palette, and I find that people stare and look at the quilts for many hours, mm-hmm. and they every time my friends come over, they'll look at them again and say, I saw that, mm-hmm. and I didn't see it the last time. And so that's why I like to keep it neutral on the eye, so you really see a lot of detail.
You know, that's a really good point. I had never thought about that because, a lot of antique quilts are also more neutral, aren't they?
Correct. And also, I try not to use a lot of really busy fabrics. I usually will limit it to maybe one or two fabrics that have pattern to them, and the rest of it will be solid so that the needlework actually shows. That's important to me.
Right. And you are, just looking at your book and the way that you've approached everything, do you feel you're a very detailed person?
I would say. That's my favorite part. Part of the reason why I like to work on very small projects is I like to take them in the car with me and travel with them, and I like to do really intricate small needle pieces. And I find if I do it too large, I get bored with it, and I'm ready to move on to the next thing before it's finished.
Aha! So you know yourself very well by this point in time, right?
It's that ADD quilter.
Well, there are so many little treasures. You know, when people start looking through the book, they're just going to be fascinated. One of the things I wondered if you could share with our listeners is, because you're very photo transfer based, you know, most of your pieces have a photo transfer in them for this particular book. Do you have some tips for people who haven't tried that before?
Probably one of my best kept secrets is a free download from Google. It's called Picasa. Mm. And Picasa is a free download. You go online, you download it into your computer, and then all of your pictures from your computer go right into Picasa. Mm-hmm. It's a photo editing area where you can do really great things, simple things. Mm-hmm. I am not the most computer savvy person, and I figured it out myself. So that's why I try to tell all the people in the book how to get to it and what to download, and that will really get things started for you. That's probably the quickest tip I can give.
That's good. That's sort of an organizational mode then for, you know, and also because you're going to crop them and maybe enlarge parts or reduce parts, right?
One of the things I'm really anal about is making sure that all of the pictures have, like, the same tonal value. I don't like one picture to stand out on the quilt more than another. And it's a great way to be able to sepia tone all of those and get them to a nice level so that everything looks positive on the quilt.
Oh, that's a really good point, because you're actually adjusting the color then of the photo before you do the photo transfer.
One tip I might give is to always start off with a black and white photo. So you can take any photo, make it black and white first, and then add the sepia. You're going to get a lot more intense photo and a lot better actual contrast to the picture versus going straight from color to sepia. That's something I learned on Google that's really good.
You're just a wealth of information, Brian.
I've done this just a few times.
Now, are a lot of the photos of family, are they your family, or do you have, like, found family? You know, you go to the antique store and you find new family members.
Well, first of all, we call those instant ancestors.
Oh, there you go. That's the word.
Actually, most of the pictures are of my actual family on my mom's side. And then just before the book was finished, I had an aunt come forward and give me a bunch of great pictures from my dad's side. It was the happiest day. And so actually, when the book was finished, both sides of the family are shown in it. So it's a lot of fun. And I like using my own photos. It just seems to be a lot more to give archival look to it, and it means more to the person when it has your photos in it.
Right, that's what I was thinking. I mean, I know friends who do a lot of altered art, you know, not on fiber.
Sure.
They use a lot of, you know, found ancestors. But yeah, this is people have so many pictures, don't they?
Yes. And if you don't have a family, there's no reason why you can't go out and buy one and make up your own story about it. That's what this is about, telling a story, creating your own thing, and making a piece of art. So if you don't have old photos or they've been destroyed in some kind of fire or flood or something, you can certainly go out and find fabulous photos to work with.
Now, do you have a particular quilt in here or piece in here or even part of a piece, Brian, that you really like, you know, that's like maybe one of your favorites at the moment?
I have a lot of favorites, but actually one of the smallest quilts that I've made is called When Opal Meets Charlotte, and it's in the book. And it's because my grandma Opal, Opal Haggard, was actually, it was one of the pictures that I got at the very last before the book was out. It's her infant picture, which I absolutely love, and there's a small little doll at the top of the left-hand side of her. The doll is a frozen Charlotte, and it's actually from the 1860s from Germany. And there's a whole thing you can research about the frozen Charlotte. It's really charming, and I like them sewn on the quilt, so I've been using a lot of them.
Oh, cool. So they're actually like 3D then. They're not in the photo.
Correct. It's actually a doll.
A little doll.
And I actually sewed the little dolls on the front of the quilt.
Now, is that what you have on your blog today? Because I was over at your blog today.
And you I believe have, so.
Yeah, there's a little tiny doll in a little dress sitting on the quilt.
Yes, that is a Frozen Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
And my other favorite thing is buttons. You'll see buttons arrive in every way you can possibly find them, because I'm a button collector or a button hoarder, I'm not sure.
You know, I saw the B that you have in there with the two buttons.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh, Brian, that's awesome.
Thank you. I just saw the shapes, and when I looked at them, I thought this would make the cutest bee body, and I stitched actually over the top of the button to give it stripes, and then added the wings out of organza, and it just makes it look like a three-dimensional bee sitting on there.
Yeah, it's very, very good. I mean, the type of work that you're doing, there's a lot of people who are sort of into wool right now. All of your stitches, everything you're doing here can be done on other fibers besides the type that you have in the book.
What I try to suggest to all of the people that are creating an art piece like this, it's not going to be a laundered piece. It can be anything you want it to be. I've had people use relatives' clothing that have passed to make memory quilts to save all their clothing. I've had other people use pieces and fragments from old dresses and things that were grandma's or great-grandma's that were found in a trunk. It is limitless what you can use, velvets, wools, anything you can come up with. And I like to use them all. Right now, I'm on a linen kick. I'm using everything crinkled linen. I don't know why, but it's my new thing.
Oh, that's really cool. What's coming up next for you? We have about half a minute.
I've got a book signing coming up in Greenwood, Indiana on September 3rd at the Backdoor Quilts. And then I have a crazy quilt retreat in St. Mary of the Woods College in Terre Haute, Indiana on September 9th, 10th, and 11th.
Wow.
And then we'll be at the International Quilt Market in Houston on October 29th, 30th, and 31st. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be doing a book signing actually on the 30th at E.E. Schneck booth.
Yes, okay.
Really neat people, and they've got so many fabulous things. I can't wait to get there.
Cool. Well, Brian, this has been so great. I want people to visit you online at briansshaggard.blogspot.com.
That would be great. Pat, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Brian, and I'll see you at Fall Market.
Looking forward to it.
Okay. This
Bye-bye.
Was this is a lot of fun talking to Brian. He's got such great ideas. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Lori Mason.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Beautiful computerized quilting is simple with the HQ Pro Stitcher. Every design becomes a perfect fit for your quilt with the HQ Pro Stitcher. You can resize, repeat, rotate, and crop right on the new 10-inch color touchscreen. No computer needed. The HQ Pro Stitcher works with all HQ Stitch regulated machines and has a quick setup that allows you to get quilting in no time.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Make your projects so much easier with great products from Sewline. Sewline offers a variety of innovative quality marking tools for quilters and sewers. The Sewline Trio is a 3-in-1 fabric marking tool that allows you to quickly change from black ceramic to white lead to a blank stylus with just one click. Both leads are water-soluble and designed to provide a crisp, clean line that's easy to erase. To purchase Sewline products, visit your local quilt shop.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com. Take an ultimate shop hop tour of 11 top quilt shops. You'll find them all in the current issue of Quilt Sampler, available now at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome. Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I am your host, Pat Sloan. I'm here to chat this afternoon with quilters of all makes and styles and everything else. It's quite exciting. So this next quilter has a totally different style than Brian's, and she is just absolutely fabulous. When you go to her website, you right away know exactly what Lori Mason is all about. LoriMasonDesign.com. She is a contributor, regular contributor to American Patchwork and Quilting family of magazines. So we're going to find out about creating quilts with these nice clean lines. Hi, Lori. How are you?
Hi, Pat. How are you? I'm good.
Oh, I'm excited to have you on here. I just absolutely love your website. Love, love, love.
Thank you.
You do all kinds of things. And, you know, I'm really intrigued with working in this style that you work in. You know, people who have the mind that just goes right there to this clean, crisp look that you do. Can you tell people or just say what your style is in your own words?
Well, it's funny. It's always a hard one to answer because, like most of us, I'm probably a combination of styles. But that said, I would probably say my style is definitely has more of a modern, minimal feeling, where I try to keep my motifs sort of spare and pared down and free of clutter. But then those motifs are often inspired by patterns and shapes from nature. So I think that tends to soften my tendency towards a kind of a strict minimalism. Does that make sense?
I think it does make sense. You know, Lori, because the other thing, you sent me a couple of your quilts, and I got to see some really nice close-ups of it. And the quilting that you put on to the top, you know, to get the layers together, that is also makes the whole design.
Right. I mean, often I'll have a quilt that I've finished without prior to quilting, and it really makes a difference. Choosing something perhaps more natural or something to kind of offset even kind of a more minimal style that's in the piecing. So, yeah.
Well, you know, when you go to Lori's website right now, the quilt that she has on her front page is like a split personality quilt. But, you know, it's got like a red side and a gray side. But the quilting is just fabulous. So do you do your own quilting?
No, I don't. I have a professional quilter here in Portland who does all of my quilting, and she's just lovely. So
do you collaborate on that part? Because do you have a vision, or are you sort of been working with together so long that, you know, just...
Well, both, really. I mean, usually what I do is when I finish the quilt top, I'll lay it out on my table so I can see the whole thing, or pin it on the wall and look at it and really try and think of what type of quilting would go best with what's pieced. And so generally I'll have kind of an idea of what I want, and then we'll sort of look through patterns, or I'll even give her a sketch of something that specifically that I want to have on top of it.
Oh, that's good. You know, so it's collaborative too. So
definitely.
Cool. Now, I'm always curious because the type of, you know, quilts that you're making, you know, how do you shop for fabric? You're also a fabric designer. You have had designs. You know, tell me your thought process about picking your fabric to work with.
Well, a lot of the quilts now that I'm designing, I'm using my own fabrics. And so a lot of times what I design for a quilt will have something to do with kind of the designs that I've designed within the fabric collection. And so the quilt that's in the Quilts and More issue for fall is definitely an example of that.
You have a palette of fabrics that now you're going to take them and create, you know, something wonderful to showcase them.
Right.
So it's sort of the opposite often, of saying you're going to buy to draw the pattern and then find the fabric to go in it.
Right, exactly. So I'll sometimes even look. I did one quilt that's on my website called Maple Swirl, and there is a fabric that I did with a little piece of like one of those maple helicopter things that I found on the ground that come off in the fall and you find all over, especially in the Northwest. And so one of my fabrics has that as sort of a design motif. And then I was just looking at my fabrics and I just thought, you know, I love that motif. I'm just going to really make it big and emphasize it and create a whole quilt kind of within just that one tiny little motif. And I often do that in my work, just sort of focus in on a really small part, enlarge it to make it its own pattern.
So, I like that because I like big. I like, yes, enlarge, you know, but I like the idea that you're looking at something and sort of breaking it down and finding something, a small bit of it.
Right. I love pattern. I love pattern, and to start with a pattern, you need a little motif. And so I'll use that motif, and I'll I design in Adobe Illustrator, which I don't know how many of your listeners do use, but I actually find it to be quite liberating. And so I'll just take that little motif, and I'll arrange it in many different ways, or I'll put it in a block shape and kind of create a whole pattern for my quilt block. And then start filling it in with either my fabrics or just solid colors to kind of create another pattern within the pattern. So I'm always kind of working on two levels, at least.
I'm looking at one that you have called Symposium, which is like you did such an excellent job of layering the colors so that it actually looks like the quilt is layered.
Right. Yeah. So sometimes I do work with my own patterns, my own collection of fabrics, which are printed, but I also like to work with solids and just work with shape and light and color and that kind of thing. So I can go both ways, really.
So do you feel like if the shapes are more intricate that you prefer solids? Do you have any preference, or is just sort of what happens?
Well, it depends. The latest collection of fabrics that I did, the Montreux collection, is the motifs in the fabrics are larger actually than I've worked with before. And so when I thought about making a quilt with it, I really wanted the shapes and the pieces of the fabric to be large enough that you could see the motifs and that they wouldn't be cut off by a smaller piece of fabric. And so the quilt sort by color was really designed with that in mind. Now, I have done other quilts that have been much smaller pieces, and generally I'll use either solids or a combination of solids and prints so that you can really see that graphic quality in the shape.
Yeah, everybody has to go to your website, Lori, because LoriMesaDesign.com, because you have got so many wonderful quilts. Oh, my gosh.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, I never like to get bored with one thing, so I'm always jumping around.
And I love the picture you sent me of yourself with your sewing machine. So that's what you sew on all the time? Wow.
Is what? Yeah, I have two sewing machines. That's my Juki, but I also work on just an old Singer. Old sturdy Singer. So.
Well, you know, you feel connected sometimes to the people before when you use equipment that they used. You know, I do. If I'm sitting down an old machine, it's like, wow, who sat here before me?
Exactly.
Kind of neat. Now, you have a little section on your site called Memory Quilts. What's behind those?
Well, I made my first memory quilt about 15 years ago. A good friend of mine's father passed away, and she had one of the only things she had really from his house were a bag full of his ties. Mm-hmm. And she came to me, and she knew I quilted, and she said, you know, would you like to, or would you please make a quilt out of my father's ties? And so we worked together and collaborated, and that was the first memory quilt that I'd made. And I realized how important that was to her and what a great process through the healing process that was. And then when my own grandmother died a few years later, I found, you know, everybody goes through their loved one's closets if someone passes and, you know, what do you do with the clothes? And everything is so emotional and especially the clothing. And what do we do with it? And we're not going to wear it. So I found in my grandmother's closet, I found this little shoebox full of a collection of silk scarves. And I made a quilt out of that, and that's on my website. That's Eva's Night Out. And it was so healing for me to do that. And I did three others with other different collections of her clothing. And I just realized how powerful that medium is and how much I really love working with people who are going through that grieving process and how just visceral a quilt made with clothing can be. And I, you know, obviously I'm not the first person to have, you know, done this. People have done it historically through the ages, but but that's very healing work, both for me and for other people. So.
And so people will hire you to do this for them. They will.
They
so they're commissioned pieces. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, your personality there is still, it's very you. I mean, when we look at me, you have a style that is very distinctive. You know, when you start going through your quilts here on your site, I think it's amazing to me that holds for everybody.
I don't know. It just comes out, you know. It's not really something that I plan or anything, but when I sit down with pen and paper or designing, it's sort of what flows. So
yeah. So what's coming up for you? What are you working on? We have another minute here.
Okay. Well, I have two. Well, first of all, I'm currently looking at some new fabric companies to partner with. I have some exciting new ideas for a new collection of fabrics.
Cool.
I also have two new memorial quilt commissions from a woman in Bermuda, of all places.
Wow.
I'm working on a beautiful new wedding quilt design, because another thing I do are make wedding quilts for people.
Wow.
And then I also am continuously making items to sell on my online Etsy store. So there's lots going on.
Yeah, what do you sell in your store? What type of finished quilts?
Yeah. I make sort of smaller usable items, placemats, runners, small quilted throws, that kind of thing, with my own fabric. So fabrics for my collection.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a really nice outlet for me for those things.
Well, you know, Lori, this has been amazing. I can't wait to meet you in person. Are you going to be at market in the fall?
No plans yet, but I'm working on some other ones. So, yeah, it would be lovely to meet you. It's been really fun talking.
Good. Well, we'll have to hook up. And everybody needs to go out to visit Lori Mason and see her quilt in the current issue, Fall 2011, Quilts and More, called Sort by Color. For your fabric lines, whatever you have is going to work perfect in there. Lori, thank you so much.
Thanks, Pat. Take care.
Okay, we'll be right back, everybody. Goodbye. We'll be right back right after this break. This is Pat Sloan and American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, Pam.
What have you been quilting lately?
I just finished a Lone Star quilt for my niece's wedding.
Oh, I can't wait to see the finished quilt.
Me too. I have so many finished tops that I'm really considering looking into a long arm of my own. Don't you have a handy quilter? I've heard good things about them.
I do, and I love my HQ18 Avante. No more UFOs at my house. I have so much space to work with, and it's so fast. The stitch regulator gives me perfect stitches every time, and the precision glide track systems makes quilting so smooth I could quilt all day.
I would love that. I've been looking at the HQ24 Fusion.
Oh, I think that would be perfect for you. It's got all the great HQ features of the Avante with more throat space. You'll love working with Handy Quilter. Their customer service is top-notch.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter, for quilters.
Moda Fabrics brings you the hottest new fabric lines for quilting. We work with more than 40 of your favorite independent designers, as well as in-house design staff, to make sure you have the latest and greatest in fabrics. We're committed to creating high-quality products and providing excellent customer service. And for 35 years, Moda Fabrics has proudly supported the independent quilt shop. Visit your local independent quilt shop to see what's new from Moda Fabrics.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts and More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
We're back with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. And this half of the show, I have got on one of my buddies, a designer, teacher,
author, fabulous quilter extraordinaire, Susan Brubaker Knapp. And Susan works in all kinds of medium, doing all kinds of styles of quilts. And so today we're going to talk a lot about her new book. So hi, Susan.
Hi, nice to be here.
I'm always so excited to talk to you. You are the best.
Great talking to you, too.
Okay, now, you just came out. You have several books. I mean, you've been doing all kinds of good stuff. But we want to talk about your newest book called Point Click Quilt. Turn your photos into fabulous fabric art. This concept, of course, the quilt on the cover is this gorgeous butterfly wing.
Oh, yeah. Great cool colors, too. All those greens are my favorite colors, so.
Oh, my gosh. So why don't you first, we want to talk a little bit of detail about your book, because I think this is something, when I go to the show, Susan, people who do, I call them picture quilts. Would you call them picture quilts?
Yeah. Inspiration is a photo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So people, when I am walking a show through the exhibit part, and one of these quilts is in an exhibit, people just go crazy because they, it looks so difficult. And I'll bet you'll tell me that anybody can do this.
I will tell you that. Yeah. It's like anything else. So you break it down into little pieces and you can do it step by step. So it's not difficult. It's just something you kind of have to wrap your head around and learn the techniques.
Yeah. Now, you are fairly well known for this style of quilt. You've had been doing these for a while. So you finally decided to sort of put what you do in your head into a book?
Right. I started really working from my photographs maybe about 5 years ago. And I think that I was not trained as an artist. My last formal art class was high school. So I developed a technique based on my photographs, and I really worked hard at becoming a better photographer, not from a technical standpoint, because I haven't ever taken any photography classes either, but from an artistic standpoint, like how you compose a shot, how you look at the basic design elements like color, shape, texture, line, those kinds of things, to take better photographs. And that's part of the artistic process for me. I don't keep a sketchbook, but I keep a photo album.
Oh, I like that because, I am not the best sketcher in the world.
Right, and I'm not either. Really, I'm not. I've been trying to work on it, but I never developed that discipline of keeping a sketchbook like a lot of artists do. But I love to take photos. And when I look back even 7 years ago, I can see what a huge improvement I've made in my basic photography skills. And then, you've got to start out with a good photo to end up with a beautiful art quilt that's based on that photo.
Well, let's talk about that part first then, because I would say that there people probably are not taking photos yet. A lot of people might not be taking the photo that will make the best quilt. What do they need to do to fine-tune their photography skills to find that good image?
Right, and that's part of what the first maybe third of the book is about.
Oh, wow.
And I have basic, I call them missions. They're exercises to help you build those skills. So, for example, one of them might be to go out and shoot only lines. So you take your digital camera out. You don't have to worry anymore about wasting money on film because we all have digital cameras.
Yeah,
and you can take great photos with a really inexpensive, easy-to-use point-and-click camera. I don't use any special features on my camera at all, except for the macro feature. The macro feature on most people's camera is that little tulip symbol.
Close-up.
That's the one that allows you to take these extreme close-ups. So that's the only one I am familiar with. There are a lot of buttons on my camera, and I don't know how to use any of them except for the macro, really. But so you can go out and follow some of these exercises or make up your own exercises. I went out one day and I just took circles. I shot hubcaps. I shot, manhole covers. I shot different patterns in things I found man-made and natural. You can shoot lines. You can shoot, say, I'm going to go out today and I'm going to shoot 200, 300 pictures of different shades of green.
Wow.
Things like that.
Cool.
It starts to develop your eye and makes you think about things in a different way because so many people have a digital camera, but they only use it to, take pictures of their children or their grandchildren. I always tell people I'm the one who goes to Disney World and comes home with 1,000 pictures of, like, tree trunk textures or palm fronds, and only one or two pictures of my kids in front of the castle.
Mickey's only in there once, huh?
Right, right. But, you know, you can develop those skills if you kind of learn them in a formal way and then go out and have fun either by yourself or with a friend doing some of these exercises so that you can become a better photographer. And really, it's what I call learning to see. You know, I think a lot of people look at things, but they don't really see them. And artists develop that, and they know, they look at something and they really see its essence. They see the shadows and the fine lines and the details. Mm-hmm. You can develop, you can cultivate that skill.
You know, I think it was interesting what you just said to go with a friend, because if you can bounce that thought process off of somebody, wouldn't that be really a fun, that would be fun, because you might not think of it the same way as your girlfriend or your, you know, one of the guys in the office would.
Right. You learn from each other. You mm-hmm. might notice different things, and it can, you know, make you think about it in a different way.
Oh, I like that. I never really thought about that, because, you know, I do go to like shows sometimes, you know, a lot of times with friends, and mm-hmm. we do look at things differently just from that standpoint.
Absolutely. And it also takes some of the fear factor out of it. Mm-hmm. I belong to a couple of fiber arts groups, and one of the groups is really a play group. We get together mm-hmm. and we try different things. And one thing we've really discovered is that it's so much less frightening to try mm-hmm. something new when you're in a group than it is by yourself. A lot of people maybe buy weird materials like mm-hmm. Angelina or paint or something like that, mm-hmm. and they want to do something different mm-hmm. with their fabric, but it's a little bit scary. And if mm-hmm. you do it with a friend or with a group, it mm-hmm. is so much fun.
Yeah, yeah. Then one person jumps in and everybody else does too then.
Right, right. Absolutely.
So now people have, you know, practiced their photography some, and, you know, they want to, what is the next sort of step to figuring out a great quilt from that 300 photos?
Right. Well, first you want to narrow down your photos. I look at my photos with a critical eye, and I try mm-hmm. to pick the ones that are the strongest. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking for something where there's a strong focal point, something mm-hmm. that I love, that I have an emotional connection to somehow, mm-hmm. Or something that says, has to do with what I want to convey in the piece of art I'm going to create. Mm-hmm. So it needs to be something you're going to love, because you're going to spend a lot of time doing it. Mm-hmm. So I narrow down my photos, and I actually keep an album of photos that I love, and eventually a good number of them get turned into pieces of fabric art. Mm-hmm. So I take the photo, and I usually, you know, on my computer, blow it up to like an 8x10, you know, something that's going to fit mm-hmm. on an 8.5x11 sheet of paper that comes out of my color printer. Mm-hmm, and I mm-hmm. print it out. And then I take a piece of tracing paper, put mm-hmm. the tracing paper on top, and trace the main lines in the photo. And at that point, if there's anything like distracting or strange in the photo, mm-hmm, or if mm-hmm. I can make it stronger by changing it a little bit, I will. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I basically...
So like the cars that you did, like if there's a trash can there, well, you don't have to put the trash can in your...
Right, right. Yeah. I did a piece that has all these really cool old rusty Chevys. I think they're 50 yeah. or 55 or 57 Chevys. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and there were some distracting elements in the background, so I just left them out. I changed mm-hmm. it a little bit. Mm-hmm. So that's where, you know, you can make those decisions to make your piece even stronger. And once I have that trace drawing, I scan it into my computer, and I blow it up to the size that I want the finished piece to be. And if you can't, the way I do it is to print it out in tiles or little sections and then tape them together. Mm-hmm. But you can just send it to a local office supply place or a place that does that has bigger printers like Blueprint printers.
Yeah, yeah.
And they can print it out for you at whatever size you want. And then you have a pattern for your piece. With the black and, you know, just black lines on white paper. Mm-hmm. And then I use that as my template, and I cut pieces out of fusible adhesive mm-hmm. and fuse them onto fabric and flip them upside down and fuse the pieces down on a background.
Ooh, that, you know, you make that part sound so simple.
All you have to do is learn to think yeah. in reverse, because you do have to put it on the, you have to
right.
cut out your pieces in reverse.
Right.
Then you have to fuse them onto the wrong side of the fabric, and then you have to flip it back over to get it back to the correct way it's supposed to be.
Now, I want to tell everybody to, Susan's website is bluemoonriver.com,
okay.
and on the right-hand side, she has her book, so you can go to point-click, book that has a butterfly wing. And then in there, she has a little a collage of some of the quilts that are in the book, or a lot of the quilts in the book. So to me, there is, you know, like the fabric at some point, you know, fabric selection.
Right.
Comes in. Are you?
It's very important.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, because, you know, to make the Chevy's, you know, rusted Chevy look that way, or that pumpkin that actually looks so real, I could just pick it up out of my screen, you know.
Thank you. I got the realism down. That's good.
Yeah, you have. You know, where does your thoughts go when you start working on a piece? You know, you personally, you know, your process, how do you start to approach your fabric?
I almost always, in my pieces that I go, that I'm going for ultra realism, I almost always work with either batik fabrics or hand-dyed fabrics. They don't have to be my hand-dyed fabrics, but I look for fabrics that have some detail in them, but that are not don't have any real strong prints to them. And you can use regular print fabrics, too. If you use them, though, you probably want to go for ones that have pretty subtle designs or patterns in them, so that they don't pull your eye to that, and you're like, oh, that's a circle, or that's a, you know, that's a little pattern in there. I think that's what makes my work look so realistic, or part of what makes it look realistic, is choosing those fabrics that don't call attention to themselves as much.
Yeah, I would think so, because, you know, I tend to be a pattern girl, you know, so it's hard for me to look at fabric that's very tonal or solids even, you know, just go, how will this be beautiful? Because, you know, after we come back from the break, Susan, we'll talk about the quilting part of it, because that is the icing on the cake, but you can't have your top without the quilting, could you?
Right. And, you know, a lot of it is actually thread sketching. It's not quilting at all. It's just on the surface of the fabric. It's more of a surface design thing. The thread sketching only goes through the top of the quilt and a layer of interfacing to keep it from drawing up when I do all that heavy thread work.
Ooh, Nasty, I didn't realize that. I thought that
right.
was all through the whole... Wow.
Yeah, that happens before I put the batting and the backing on and then do the quilting. So a lot of that thread, the detail that you see on the surface of my quilts is just done as thread sketching rather than as quilting. But, you know, I love pattern fabric, too, and I, you know, I'm a traditional quilter as well. I always tell people I'm a multiple personality disorder quilter. My first book was needle turn applique. I love traditional quilts. And so I have a huge stash of pattern fabrics, and then I have another stash. I keep them completely separate, and I use my more what you call tonal fabrics for my art quilts.
Well, we're going to take a little break, Susan. When we come back, we're going to talk some more.
Thanks.
Win free stuff! Find out about our newest online sweepstakes and contests and how you can enter at allpeoplequilt.com/promos.
Come see what's cooking at the Moda Bake Shop website. You'll find free recipes for using the wide range of Moda pre-cuts from your favorite designers and quilt shops. We've got ideas for using a variety of ingredients, including honey buns, jelly rolls, layer cakes, charm packs, and more. Instructions with detailed step-by-step photos guide you through the recipes and the fun. New projects served up daily at modabakeshop.com.
Do you love free motion quilting but struggle to fit your project in a small throat space? The HQ Suite 16 is designed for you. With 16 inches of throat space, there is room to work on even a king-size quilt. The smooth surface of our height-adjustable table allows your project to glide under the needle with ease. The HQ Suite 16 is built with powerful HQ technology designed to handle all your quilting projects.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 million pillowcase challenge. We're counting on you.
We're listening to you. Comment on today's show and tell us your ideas for future shows. Visit the contact page on our website, allpeoplequilt.com. Now, back to the show. Here's Pat.
Hi, this is Pat Sloan. You're back with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, and I'm here with Susan Brubaker Knapp, the author of Point Click Quilt from CNT Publishing. And Susan has been telling us, walking us through this process of taking your photo into a quilt. And I'm just floored, Susan, that you were doing all that work before you put the layers together.
That's
right. Cool. That's really cool.
Yeah, I spent a lot of the time is spent on, you know, tracing the photo and on getting all those fused pieces ready to go. And sometimes I have hundreds of little fused pieces in some of my bigger pieces.
So like the candy corn, okay, so or the, you know, it's the red corn. Are each of those little kernels on that corn cob a single piece of fabric?
No. Some of those, some of that Indian corn is just a solid piece of fabric, and the details added with the thread. The few that are like white and dark maroon, I think I placed as separate pieces of fabric. But the detail you're seeing in there is with thread.
With thread. Oh, cool, cool. Yeah, not candy corn. Indian corn, yes.
Yeah. I did a candy corn quilt, too, because I'm a Halloween baby, so I tend to like Halloween subjects.
That's right. That's right. That you are an amazing Halloween baby. So. Okay, so once you've done this thread work before putting the layers, how much extra quilting do you put on?
Well, the quilting is important, but it's more important to add dimension than it is to add the thread color. So basically all the detail that I want to add and the texture I want to add, I do at the thread sketching stage. So once I add the batting and the backing, I'm thinking more about what elements need to come forward and which ones do I need to push back. So on that Indian corn piece, for example, I wanted to bring the corn kernels forward, so I quilted around the individual kernels of corn and then around the corn and into the husks to push some areas back and bring other areas forward.
Wow. Now, you know, the average person, that hasn't done this before, you know, because you are quite skilled at it and have, you know, done many pieces, but, you know, someone wanting to just start out, what do you recommend that they do? What kind of a picture or level of detail? Obviously, size probably small, but...
Yeah, and sometimes if you go too small, it's tricky, though. You want to pick a photo that is pretty simple for your first one, that doesn't have too many different colors in it, doesn't have any too many details in it, as simple as possible, and then break it down into as few pieces of fabric as you can, remembering that you can go back in and add some of the detail with thread. So, you know, start simple. And in the book, I tried to give a range of patterns. So there's 16 different patterns in the book. And some of them are more complex than others. And there are some that use different materials, like you were talking about the pumpkin, the one with the interesting gourds and pumpkins in it. And that one actually uses Tyvek, pieces of melted Tyvek. Tyvek is, what I did is I took, Tyvek is the material that like U.S. priority mailers are made out of.
Right, right.
It's that stuff that looks kind of like paper, but it doesn't rip like paper. And so you can take recycled mailers and paint it and melt it. It bubbles. And then that's what I did for that gourd piece. I used that material in that art quilt. And then you can stitch through it. So it creates those interesting bubbles and texture on the piece.
So when you're doing a piece and, you know, you're working on it for quite a while, and do you get to a point where, you know, you need to, like, not work on it for a while because it's not looking like you want, but you come back and it is doing what you wanted, you just need a visual break from it?
Yes. Well, that happens a lot. And, sometimes I get to the point where I'm about ready to throw in the trash, frankly. I've had a couple times when I wanted to burn things out in my backyard. I was so upset with them. And sometimes I need to step back and take a couple days or even a couple weeks and let it gestate a little bit, and I figure out what's wrong with it. Usually there's something that I need to fix in the piece. Maybe maybe there is an area that needs to be more shadowed that's not, not there. So I'm not seeing the dimension. Something's wrong with it. And usually it comes to me, and I figure it out, and I fix it. But oftentimes it's just a matter of keep going, because a lot of times people get frustrated in the middle of things, and if they just keep going, they get over the hump, and then the piece improves, and it looks great.
Right, right. I think that's true. That's really true, is that we don't give it enough time. We think it's too much instant gratification. You know, if it hasn't happened, you know, by now, whatever now is, you know, just keep working, and it does talk to you then.
Right. It will usually tell you what it needs. Maybe it's a different color or a little bit. It's true for traditional quilts, too. You know, you sometimes you look at it and you're like, well, wait a second. That needs just a little pop of green over there. Or I don't think it's too all one value, and it needs some different values in there. It's exactly the same thing with art quilts. I think the things that the lessons that you learn as a traditional quilter definitely carry over if you go into art quilting.
Now, are you submitting your quilts for competition?
I've got two quilts that are going to Houston. In fact, I've got to get them in the mail in the next couple of days. Yeah, I've got two pieces going there. I've been so busy doing the book and with and teaching lately that I haven't really entered very many competitions. But I enjoy that because I enjoy getting the feedback from the judges a lot. It helps me. It helps me get better.
And I have congratulations due to you on being nominated for the International Quilt Association, the IQA board.
Oh, so thank you. I'm looking forward to it. Now, you're the secretary, right?
I am.
Good.
I'm the secretary.
Well, I get to see you at some of the board meetings then.
That's right. That's right. It's a lot. This is my first year at it, so it's been great. Everybody's wonderful on the board, and you learn so much about the workings of a big quilt show, because IQA is the board that helps run the quilt part, you know, setting the quilts for the quilt show in Houston.
Right. I'm looking forward to meeting a lot of people who have a lot of skills and knowledge in different areas. I think it'll be fascinating.
It is, and we're just really excited to have you join us.
You. I was thrilled to be asked.
Good, good, good. It's Mutual Admiration Society.
Thank you.
Now, I am curious, as a quilter, and maybe, you know, right now you might not even be able to answer this. Right after a book, I don't even want to think about quilts sometimes for a little bit. But you know how it goes. You're like, ah. But do you have a quilt that you haven't made yet? Do you have, like, you know, like a lot of people say, like, the Dear Jane or a Baltimore album or a New York Beauty. But do you have a piece that's sort of on your list of someday, you know, you need to make?
Absolutely. I have 100 quilts on that list. you know, I have such a crazy life. I have two children, 11 and 14, so I'm busy with being a mom and doing all that kind of stuff, but I have so many things that I want to do. I tell people I would have to live 100 lifetimes to get them all done. So, I have a bunch of things I would like to do and try.
I think we all have that big list. I have a couple. Like, I made my New York Beauty, so now, like, my big list is my Baltimore album someday, a real true, not, I don't want to reproduce it in reproduction fabrics, but I want to make one just like one that's in the museum.
So when are you going to start that?
I don't know. We're not putting any numbers on this. You know, just
one of the things that's high on my list right now is I'd really like to do a very large quilt, but an art quilt that is big, that commands attention, that would take up a big part of a wall, and I'd really like to do all different kinds of fish on it.
Oh.
So my idea is to paint a whole bunch of different kinds of fish realistically, and then, you know, paint them all separately, and then probably needle turn applique those painted pieces down onto a background fabric, and have all different fish from all different places, like, that wouldn't normally be swimming together, like, you know, a salmon and a halibut and a shark, or, you know, a whole bunch of different ones on one big quilt.
Ooh, like we're going to walk into an aquarium.
Almost like that. So I have this idea in my, you know, sometimes you see it in your mind's eye, and then you start thinking, well, how could I do that? Technically, how could I make that work? And I think that's my idea, is I want to paint them all separately and then place them on an interesting watery fabric and then needle turn applique them down. Which, you know, it's interesting how sometimes I mix my traditional quilt world stuff with my art quilt stuff. It's definitely getting mixed up, and it's all enriching the other side.
Your pieces are just amazing, Susan.
Oh, thank you.
Now, you know, I always am curious about how people buy fabric. Do you buy fabric only for project, or do you just?
Oh, no. I buy fabric that I think is beautiful, and mm-hmm. I don't worry at all about whether I'm going to use it in a month or in 10 years. I buy whatever floats my boat, mm-hmm. and it goes into my box, and then usually it ends up being used in something. But I don't worry at all about that. I think I'm out of a stage right now where I'm buying a ton of fabric just because I've got a lot of batiks and hand dyes that I'm using, and I've got a lot of things in my stash for my traditional quilts. But mm-hmm. that doesn't mean that if I don't, you know, if I run into a store and the fabrics are fabulous, that I don't buy a
mm-hmm.
bunch.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. I think a lot of us do that, although I have talked to some designers recently that design fabric lines that sort of don't really go out of their realm too much because they do a lot of work with their own lines, so they
right.
keep them busy.
You know, that's one of the downsides to being a pattern designer, too. I know you've experienced this probably, is that there's all these cool things out there that you'd like to do, but you're so mm-hmm. busy producing your own stuff, you don't have time mm-hmm. to do the other people's beautiful stuff.
I know, and I buy it, and I start it anyways.
Yeah.
You know,
right,
and so I
right.
have lots of unfinished projects because of that.
Well, then you're just a typical quilter, right?
I am.
Yeah.
I'm very typical. Uh-huh. Now, you told me you have a couple of cool hobbies, that you were just recently into genealogy.
Yes, my mother died in January, suddenly. She was only 74, mm-hmm. and I think that it is kind of my way of processing her death and dealing with it a little bit because I wanted her to be remembered. And I started thinking, you know, by the time I have grandchildren or great-grandchildren, those things that were so amazing about her will be lost unless I write them down, unless I save the pictures or write the stories down.
Mm-hmm.
They're gone. And, you know, that has a similarity with quilting, too, in that we create these things hoping that they will get passed down through the generations so that we'll be remembered,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I've gotten very into it. It my children roll their eyes. It's become kind of an obsession, but I have that kind of a personality, I guess. Yeah. I just jump in whole hog.
Well, I've run our family, you know, my husband and I have done the same thing a little bit, you know, after we went to Ireland because we found out his family name, my last name now, Sloan, is Irish. So, yeah, so we do that. Now, Susan, I want everybody to, we're out of time. I'm going to give them your website again, bluemoonriver.com. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, it's always wonderful talking to you, Pat.
I'll see you
at Market.
Yes, see you at Market. So
okay.
Susan Brubaker Knapp, check out her new book. And next week, come back to listen to the show. We're going to have on Amy Butler and Christine Barnes. I'm so excited. Go to allpeoplequilt.com where you can find lots of projects from our guests, videos, tutorials, and we'll see you next time. This is your host, Pat Sloan.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening.